before scripture, let's do the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of God.
Sarah, thank you all for being here in this hot building today. Well, I know you're here because you want the right things. You're willing to put up with some discomfort to be together, to meet with the Lord. Let's pray again. Lord, you know that it's hot. You know that we want to hear from you. I pray that you would help us to encounter you, Jesus, in a maybe in a new way today. Help us to be like Bartimaeus, who wanted the right things. In Jesus' name, amen. So please open your Bibles to Mark. Back in our series, going through the Gospel of Mark, we are well over halfway through now in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. And as you get there, I want to tell you a quick story. Meg and I watched a movie a few months ago called The Miracle Club. It's set in the 1960s in Ireland, where everybody's Catholic, and these four women, actually three women who are good friends, working class women, they win a raffle to go to Lourdes, France on a pilgrimage trip. So there is a site in France where people believe there was an apparition of Mary, and now there's a spring of water there that can heal people. This is what they were seeking. So these women go to France and to Lourdes, and none of them have been out of the country before, and all of them are desperate for God to do a miracle in their lives. One of them has a son who is about 7 years old and has never spoken. One of them has a suspicious lump in her breast. One of them is in a wheelchair. And so they go just desperate for a miracle. They're seeking after a miracle. And I won't give away the plot of the movie, but what happens is that they start to realize the miracles they sought after are not necessarily the ones they needed, right? But that story, I think, could be about a lot of people. You know people, maybe you yourself, who are desperate for God to do something in your life. The bad diagnosis comes or tragedy strikes, and then they pray and say, "We're praying for a miracle," and they have prayer gatherings and emails and Facebook posts and all kinds of, they rally prayer warriors. They talk about claiming a miracle. They may even start attending church. But then some of these people, when the miracle comes, they go on with life as usual. And it shows that what they wanted was actually just to get something from God. They wanted him to do something for them, and that's it. But in our passage today, we see someone who wants the right things. Bartimaeus. Now, this man, this is the last healing that Jesus does in the Gospel of Mark, believe it or not. This man, did you know, is the only person who is given a name who Jesus heals. All of the healings in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is the only one who's given a name. And what does his name mean? Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Timaeus means worthy of honor. Mark is telling us this is a model disciple. This is someone we should emulate. And so I want to tell you this morning how you can be like a disabled panhandler outside Jericho. Maybe you, like him, are desperate for a miracle, or maybe God has already changed your life. Maybe you're curious about who Jesus is and what he can do for you. Wherever you are today, we can look at Bartimaeus to see what it means to be a true disciple, a true follower of Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles out, I want to look at Bartimaeus' story through three words, three verbs that Mark applies to him. He pleads, he receives, he follows. We'll see those, each of those in turn. Number one, he pleads. Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem, where he knows he's going to be betrayed and executed. They pass through Jericho, we're told, which was a popular stop on the pilgrim route for Jews going up to Jerusalem. It was the last kind of major town before you get up to Jerusalem. Now, it's only 20 miles between Jericho and Jerusalem, but it's a 3,500-foot climb. So it would be, I looked this up on Google Maps, it would be almost exactly the same trip as walking from our church to the top of Madonna Mountain at Smuggler's Notch. That's almost exactly the route, the elevation change. And so Jericho is the last town where pilgrims would stop, rest, get resupplied. So this guy is in, Bartimaeus is in a good place to receive handouts. Here he is sitting by the roadside, this blind man, we're told, who is begging, asking for coins. His cloak is spread out on the road, and every once in a while he hears the plink of a coin as the pilgrims pass by. He's just another disabled beggar, of which there were many in Israel, surviving on charity. But there's more to this man than most people see. He hears that Jesus is coming by. Now, I don't know how he, you know, surely he's heard of Jesus and the miracles he does and some of what he's taught, but he takes action. He begins calling out, "Lord, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Imagine yourself in that crowd. There's probably a few hundred people around Jesus as he walks on the road. The sun beats down. You hear the buzz of voices and the sounds of many bodies moving. And then all of a sudden, piercing through that noise is this voice. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know how when you're out in public and someone draws attention to themselves, it's embarrassing, right? And so you're looking around, who's saying that? Who's interrupting him? Who is drawing attention to themselves? And the people closest to him see that it's this blind man. They say, "Shut up, stop it. You're causing a scene." He keeps shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And again and again. he keeps doing it. He shouts even louder. When people discourage him, he shouts even louder, we're told. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus is shouting with everything he's got. He is desperate. He is determined. He's risking embarrassment, shame, maybe his business for that day, right? He's risking disappointment. But he's crying out in faith, the faith that Jesus will later commend him for. And let's examine what he says. Jesus, Son of David. Why does he call Jesus Son of David? This is the only time that that phrase is used in Mark. Well, David was the great king of Israel. And during this time, Jewish scholars and rabbis were saying that the Messiah would be a greater David from the line of David. And so the Son of David is a title that means Messiah. This person who would come and bring liberation and wholeness and healing. So even though Bartimaeus can't see, he knows who Jesus is. I like how one scholar said, what he lacks in eyesight, he makes up for in insight. He can see who Jesus is somehow. And with this insight, he understands Jesus is in a position to help him. Hence, the cry for mercy. Mercy is someone who has power or ability helping someone who doesn't. It's kindness. It's grace. Mercy. And so he's crying out with humility and guts and desperation and determination. Isn't that what faith is? Calling out to Jesus? I think this is how we all should approach Jesus. Whatever your physical abilities or disabilities, all of us stand poor and needy before God with no way to help ourselves for what really matters. The only one who can truly meet our need is Jesus. The only one who can truly give us the mercy we need. And the good news is, he is willing to help. Verse 49 says, Jesus stops in his tracks. He stops. He hears this plea for mercy, and he wants to help. You know, like Bartimaeus, sometimes we have to overcome obstacles to get to Jesus. Bartimaeus could have thought, why would Jesus want to stop and help me? I'm just one poor beggar. Maybe you feel like you aren't important enough for Jesus to bother with. Your needs are not great enough for him to help with. You don't matter enough compared to other people. You know, you hear people say things like, yeah, God is so busy answering prayer, I don't want to bother him with my little stuff. That's not the way Jesus works. Bartimaeus could have let himself be silenced by those telling him to shut up. Maybe you have people in your life who have discouraged you from coming to Christ. Maybe a parent who is hostile to faith, or friends who say, oh, don't bother with all that stuff. Come hang out with us. Or someone who says, you're just not worthy of love. You know, have you had people in your lives like that who throw up obstacles between you and Jesus? Sometimes it takes determination to push through those. Don't let anyone discourage you from coming to Jesus. Bartimaeus wasn't discouraged, and his prayer was answered. So let's see, number two, he receives. Jesus stops and calls him. It's funny how the crowd changes their tune the instant Jesus recognizes this man. First they're like, shut up! And then they're like, cheer up! He's calling you, get on your feet! so he comes. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up. He runs to Jesus. Coins scatter. His cloak falls away. Probably the only thing he owns. He throws it away. He goes to Jesus. He doesn't care. He can't believe that Jesus is calling him. So he goes. But then, this is so interesting. Jesus asks him a question. What do you want me to do for you? Well, isn't it obvious? I'm blind, right? I'm a beggar. I'm blind. I can't see. Is Jesus just like messing with him here? Why would he ask him when it's so obvious what his need is? Well, Jesus cares about him. He wants to hear it from his own lips. He wants to humanize him and let him express what he wants. I wonder how many people have ever asked him what he wanted, right? He was just a problem. He was just a nuisance, just the dregs of society to get around, to deal with. Who has ever said, what do you want me to do for you? Right? But here he is, Jesus, asking him this question. Mark is doing something else pretty smart here. Do you remember the last time Jesus asked this very question? It's in the same chapter. It's only half a chapter before this. When James and John come to Jesus and say, we want you to do whatever we ask. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? That's not an accident that Mark recorded those back to back. And in contrast to James and John, who wanted gold and glory and power, all Bartimaeus wants is his sight. He comes with this humble request for healing. He says, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. Verse 52, go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Wow. We don't know how long Bartimaeus had been blind. Maybe it was congenital, maybe it was an accident or a disease. But one word from Jesus brings it all back. Nerves connect, tissue is restored. Can you imagine? At first he can't take it in. All the photoreceptors are learning what to do with all this dazzling light. And then suddenly the world is just full of color and depth and texture and space. He can see. He reaches out and sees the hand in front of his face, and then he looks up and sees Jesus, the man who healed him, smiling at him, loving him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine his gratitude, his joy? I wonder if Jesus' face went out of focus for a minute as his eyes welled up with tears. Jesus, he asked and he received. Jesus answered. Now, just as Bartimaeus believed, Jesus is the Messiah who brings wholeness and life, the mercy giver, the one who hears the cries of the poor and needy. I wonder if Bartimaeus remembered the words of Psalm 116 that we read today. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. He heard my cry. The truth is, we are all a lot like Bartimaeus. We are spiritually poor and needy, desperate for mercy. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of your need? See, a follower of Jesus has to first be aware of their desperate need. They don't come to him wanting a slight improvement or extra help. You come to him desperate for what only he can give. And he answers. If you had been Bartimaeus, what would have made you call out, "Have mercy on me"? What are you desperate for Jesus to do for you? And then Jesus walks up to you and asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, it's okay to want things from Jesus. It's okay to ask him to intervene. We don't have to be resigned to our fate. We don't have to be resigned to sin and sickness and sorrow and everything in this world. We can ask him for help. Do you want physical healing? Do you want emotional healing? Do you want a change in your heart? Do you want freedom from something that binds you? Ask Jesus. Come to him with your need. Ask him. Call out for mercy. Bartimaeus asked for and received his sight. But what I love about him and about this story is that he actually wanted more than just physical healing. And we see that in the last five words of this passage. Verse 52, immediately he received his sight and what? Followed Jesus along the road. He followed. That's not a throwaway sentence. That's not just Mark saying this is how the story ended. You see, he doesn't just get what he wants from Jesus and then go on his way. When he sees Jesus, he realizes, I don't just want healing from him. I want him. I want to be with him. If I'm allowed to come with you, I'll go with you and I'll listen to you teach and I'll follow you. And I don't care about my cloak and the coins anymore. I'm just following you. He's not satisfied with just an encounter with Jesus or a religious experience. He wants to be with Jesus for the long haul. And so he follows Jesus along the road. When Mark writes that he followed Jesus on the road, that word road is not just the ground beneath their feet. Mark uses that word, the New Testament uses that word, hados, to mean the way. It is the way of life for followers. It is discipleship, is what we call it. Discipleship. Learning to be like Jesus. Learning how to live your life as Jesus would in your shoes. Letting Jesus change you from the inside out. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's a process. You encounter Jesus. He opens your eyes. He heals you. He makes you whole. And then you learn to follow him. You see, many people want a miracle from Jesus, but few follow Jesus. Many want a spiritual experience, but few become disciples. Many want Jesus to change something in their life, but few people want Jesus to change them. How about you? Are you a disciple like Bartimaeus? Are you a follower? How about our church? Are we a place where people not only encounter Jesus and receive healing, salvation? By the way, the word healed and saved are the same word in Greek. Do people come here and encounter Jesus and then go about their business, or do they follow him on the road? Are we on the road together? Following Jesus. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Do you just want him to do something, to fix something in your life, as good as that may be? Or do you want to then be a disciple? Do you want him to change you, to teach you, to to renovate your heart. I'd like to think that with his regained sight, Bartimaeus climbed all the way up those 3,500 feet to Jerusalem with Jesus. He saw the mountains in the distance. He saw the city as they approached. Then he saw Jesus days later riding in on a donkey with the palm branches waving. Then maybe with his own eyes that Jesus had healed, he saw Jesus carrying the cross. He saw him hanging there. He saw the empty cross after he died. And then I like to think that with his own two eyes that Jesus had healed, he saw the risen Christ. Maybe he was one of those 500 to whom Jesus appeared at the same time. And he realized, Jesus has given me a lot more than my sight. He's given me my life. He has saved me from death. And 1,800 years before John Newton wrote the song, he could have thought something like, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Amen.